Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and I'm the Vibe.
And this is your girl, Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And welcome back to another episode of Queens of Vibes and Visions. So, Queen K, are you ready to start this panel?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, let me get the two guests on. Detroit Daoud and Javon, are y'all there?
Yes,
yep,
Javon,
I'm here.
All right, okay.
Going well, a little under the weather, but hey, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm doing good.
Well, yeah, we are hoping that this night can just, like, lift our moods, because I was feeling like that yesterday. So thank you guys, though, for coming on. I really appreciate this, and we're going to start the show. So, all right, Queen K.
All right, so we're going to get into our spiritual journey. So we're going to have Complex introduce the first question. So Complex, what's the sip and tea for the soul topic today?
All right, so the sip and tea for your soul topic, like you said, is my spiritual journey. This is our first panel where we have a guy on, and we are going to be talking about the good and the bad when it comes to your spiritual journey. You know, in religion. So a couple of rules. It's going to be 40 minutes. We have four questions that we all are going to answer. The order that we will go in is we'll have Javonna answer first, Detroit Daoud, then Queen K, then myself. If anybody wants to piggyback, like, you know, if someone said something that made you think of something that you forgot to say, you'll get a chance after we answer the question, and then we'll go on to the next question. Also, I know I talked to you guys, and you guys said that you're very open-minded, and we just want you to know that me and Queen K want to give you a free space to just be real and raw tonight and rip off Band-Aids. This is a judgment-free zone, okay? So, with that being said, we are going to go into the first question, all right? So, Javonna, I'll have you go first, and then we'll go around the room. What religion do you identify with, and how were you introduced to it?
So I technically, myself, I'm more of a spiritual person, but I can say that, religion has been a big part of my life. I grew up between Baptist and Christian, but growing up as a child, we really didn't talk about what the religion was. It was just like, oh, you're Christian. You know, no one ever really came. And it really broke down everything to me. But I consider myself as a spiritual person. I definitely know that there is a God. I think that God is so big and huge that it's someone that you have to get to know for yourself. I feel like when you put religion in groups, it separates us as people, as a whole. And I think that religion and God is a one-on-one journey. That's what I feel. So that's how I identify myself as a spiritual person who believes in God. But I don't get into, because at the end of the day, none of us know where we're going to go when we leave here. You know, so no one knows really which one is right. You know what I mean? And I do believe that there ultimately is one God. And I think that it was made to separate God as a way to separate us as people. So I don't get into the whole religion thing.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Detroit Daoud, you're next.
Okay. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I grew up Christian. I grew up in the Lutheran church. But where I am now, I denounce being a Christian because I associate Christianity with white supremacy, and it's also the religion of the KKK. And also, Christians can tend to be very judgmental. And, you know, we say that we want to be more like Christ, but you have to ask yourself, Christ wasn't a Christian himself.
Right.
So... but where I identify myself now, I'm a believer. A few years back, I did kind of dabble into like an introduction in the Hebrew faith. And so I learned about Jesus and how his name would actually be Yeshua or Yahshua, because there's no J in the language, in the alphabet. I'm sorry. We actually didn't get a J in the alphabet until, I want to say, what, maybe 5,000 years ago? So something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's where I am. So, like, when people ask me, like, honestly, I'm a believer. Don't call me a Christian, but I'm still going to I'm still going to love on people and really give them Christ without being churchy and without being judgmental.
Oh, that part, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so as for me, being brought up, we stayed with my grandmother, and now my mother's side of the family, they were Baptist, and my father's side of the family, they are Jehovah's Witness. So it came a point in time where we stayed with my mother's mother, and she would make it was pretty much, if you stayed in her house, she don't care what you did the night before, you were up in the morning going to church. You had to, you know. It was like kind of forced upon us. I didn't know what it meant to be Baptist. I'm still learning that now, you know. Like you said, Giovanna, that it is a way to separate us, because you have religions out here competing, thinking one is better than the other, when really we all are serving just one being. It's one being over us all. So... and then going to my father's, you know, staying with my father's mother, and they do stuff completely different being a Jehovah's Witness. You can't celebrate this, you can't celebrate that. You have to go on the, you know, a different day, and then you're going to the Kingdom Hall. It's not called church, it's the Kingdom Hall. Mm. And learning about that is just like, you know, I was confused as a child. Now I, like both of you have said, I identify myself with being spiritual, being a believer, because I know at the end of the day, it is someone over my life that is helping me out on this journey, because I cannot do this by myself at all. I need them. Hey. He's been there with me this whole way. Like, I've overcame some dark stuff because of him. So I just believe in my heart, and I can feel his presence. That I know my God is real, and I don't identify with any religion at this moment, because it's just a way to separate us.
Okay. Well, my question, my answer is definitely the same as yours. Javon, I felt like you was reading my childhood, because it was like that for me too. I went between Baptist, and I got baptized at 7. At the time, I didn't understand it. I think I was doing it because my older sister was doing it. Like, hey, I want to do that. And, you know, then I became Christian. But I actually departed from religion once I got to college, because I was watching Kirk Franklin on The Breakfast Club, and he was saying that his analogy was that if you see a person drowning in the pool, or you see him drowning in the lake, a spiritual person is going to, you know what I'm saying, jump in there and save them, but a religious person is going to be on the side telling you how to save yourself. And that's how I felt religion was. It's like, you know, when you were depressed, it's like, oh, you need to pray, but no one's telling me how to pray. And I always felt like I had to be so put together to go in front of God. So I had to reform my own relationship with him, you know what I'm saying, to really understand. And I identify with spiritual too, because, like, I was confused as well. It's like, you know, when you look at people who acknowledge Buddha, and, you know what I'm saying, people who acknowledge Horus, and then people who acknowledge Jesus, I'm like, all of these have, like, some of the same similar things. So I do agree with you guys.
Right.
It was a way to divide us. So, yeah, that's my take on it. Did anybody want to piggyback or anything before we go on to the next question?
No, I think that it is great. I think that everyone kind of hit the head on the nail. If we can just get a lot of our Christian believers to open their eyes and see that, you know, it's not about I think Christianity is probably one of the worst religions out of all of them, because it was something that held us back during slavery. You know what I mean? It's so deep. It goes so deep.
Yes. No, I definitely understand that. Okay. So I'm going to go.
I'm going to piggyback.
Oh, sorry.
I want to go ahead and piggyback on what Giovanna was saying.
Giovanni.
Yes.
Giovanni,
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So I agree that Christianity is the religion of the white man. Especially the fact that they have turned scripture against us and made it seem as if Jesus was white. So every picture we see of Christ is white, and when you look at him, you actually are, he looks like the people who oppressed us. So what you're doing is you're worshiping your oppressor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, how do we even get to a point where Jesus even became white? Well, there was a pope. He had a son by the name of Cesar Major. And the pope commissioned Leonardo da Vinci to paint his son as the model. So ask yourself, and maybe even do some research on who Cesar Major, or it might be Borgia, was. Because first off, he was a womanizer. He was a murderer. He was very political. Let's see. He had an incestuous relationship with his sister Lucretia. And he even caught syphilis. So I'm like, is this when you hear those facts about who this man was, I feel like, just to go back on what Giovanni said, black people would have to wake up after hearing facts like that.
Yes. Yes,
because
will.
Why would
that
you have
true.
Someone in that state of mind, or he was a criminal. So why would you model someone that's a criminal to be our Lord and Savior?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it even plays on the Black Lives Matters movement, even going on right now. I mean, we've been taught to pray about everything, and it's just like, okay, but when is the action? It's like it going to start. You know what I mean? It made us tie our hands behind our back to let people feel like, well, we can do anything to these people, and all they're going to do is just keep praying. And it's just like, it baffles me. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's time to do something. And when I see my people standing up now, it's like, yes, this is what we need, because people need to understand that we are not stepping stools. We are not people. We built America. You know what I mean? And y'all just step on us like we not nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like, at this point, it's just like, we have to throw all of that, pray. Okay, but what is prayer without action? We got to show.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it just goes so deep. You know, I can't stand when people just be like, well, just pray about it. Like, no, just do something about it, okay?
Exactly,
you know?
Yes. And teach people how to pray, yes. We've having church up in here. Let's go on to the next question real quick. Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, I want to elaborate. I'm sorry. I'm feeling this thing.
Okay, because we got only 40 minutes, so I'm just saying. But
make it quick. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to piggyback on what Giovanni said, Black people have to do more than just pray and forgive, okay? You know, we have to put things into action. We need to vote. The lines that you see at Mr. Allen's, as long as they are,
for the nail
that
shop.
Line should be as long as it is on the day to vote.
Some Jordan's drop.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That part. Okay. All right. No. So the next question is: have you ever went astray from your spiritual journey, and what played a part in you going astray? Giovanni, I'll let you answer first. I'm sorry.
Ooh, this is a deep one. Absolutely, I have. I've had kind of a rough life growing up. I was adopted. Both of my parents were drug addicts. I went from my biological home to my adopted home. Inside my adopted home, I was physically abused, mentally abused, emotionally abused. And it just, it takes a toll on you. And then I was a believer then, but things just kept happening one after another, after another, after another. And as you know, Natasha, I recently fought cancer. I'm a cancer survivor. And my journey through cancer is what brought my religion, I mean, not my religion, but my spiritual life back, because I had lost everything. And I was at a point, when you at that point between life and death, you know when they say, when you don't believe God, he'll make you a believer through the things that you do. That's what made me a believer. I was like, oh, okay, you are real, God, because at the end of the day, can nobody fulfill me and make me feel the comfort that God gave me during the time that I thought I was going to die? Not my mom, not my dad, not my siblings, not anybody could not give me that peace that God gave me. And that's what made me be like, okay, God, you are real. You know, you are, you will get me through this. And it was nothing by the grace of God that they were able to remove the cancer. And they thought that they was going to have to remove my whole stomach and my esophagus. Y'all wasn't going to have no insides, okay? They were just going to take everything. And it turned out that they only had to take 30% of my stomach and everything else was left. So can't nobody tell me that. It was nothing but God. It was nothing but God that at 5 hours after surgery, after this major surgery, I was up walking the floor. So it was just that's how you that it's nothing but God. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what made me a believer again, and I will be a believer for the rest of my life. And I do believe that I have a duty to preach the actual word of who God is because he has saved me from myself.
Thank you.
All right. She made me cry.
We're going to get moved in here. All right, Detroit, that was.
Okay. So first, I'm going to just say with what Giovanni went through, I'm so glad to hear that you are a survivor. And you should really use your story to help other people that might be struggling so that they realize that they have hope and that God can get them through. There's nothing that he can't help us overcome.
I would definitely be doing that. You know, it's been kind of rough because, sorry to cut you off, because I wrote a post about this the other day, is that when you're going through this, no one really, especially cancer, the doctor's goal is to get you through it, but they kind of leave you hanging at the end. Once you survived it and you're going through it and your life is not your life it was before you had cancer, my life is not the same anymore. So you think that you're going to go back to normal, but your normal life is just, it's a new norm. So now I'm like, okay, let me get myself together. But I promise you, I'm actually writing a book right now, and I am. My goal is to travel the world, telling my story, and letting people know that through it all, that you can heal through anything in your life. So I am going to take you up on that. It's coming.
Amen.
Keep us posted.
All right.
Okay. So,
okay, go ahead.
So when I was when I came out of college, well, I had walked. I still had some coursework I had to do. I got with this church called the Detroit Church of Christ, and they made me question everything that I was taught about God, about what I learned in the Lutheran church, and just over the years, just reading the word. So they made me question everything that I was taught. They were very, like, kind of protective over you. Like, if you weren't in church, they wanted to be like, where are you? Because we don't know what sins you're doing. So, anyway, you know, just I'm going to make this short because this would definitely be a long, long story. The end result was, after studying with them for about 6 months to maybe 6 to 10 months,
they decided that my heart was not fully surrendered to God after doing everything that they told me to do. And they said, because of the fact that I could not be there every Sunday, they didn't baptize people whose hearts were not fully surrendered to God. And so that was the end of that. But that experience, it crushed me. It made me question some things. It made me question the things that I was taught about God. So I became a little confused. But at the end of the day, God still showed himself to me. As I still read the word, I was still having spiritual experiences happen.
Yes, God.
Yes.
So.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's deep.
Yeah, it is. Wow. I couldn't imagine that in a million years doing all that and then being told that because they don't feel that your heart is all the way there, then you can't be baptized. That's not fair. How do they know where your heart is? Especially
right.
for the Lord. So that's not fair at all. That was not fair. But, you know, but I'll answer the
question. But that's
kind of
like your journey, right? Like how the Jehovah's Witnesses was kind of like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
I thought so.
Because, you know, because my grandmother, you know, she would tell them that, their mother is this. And they're like, well, that's not the right way to live. You shouldn't live like this. This is how you should live. And as a young kid, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to go to hell because I'm doing bad stuff. Like, that's how I felt all the time. Like, either way I went, if I was serving for the Jehovah's Witnesses, then I was going to go to hell because that's not God. Then if I'm serving, you know, in the Baptist church, no, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're going to go. So it was crazy for me. But the moment that I did steer away from my spiritual journey. It was a few years ago, actually. I was going through a really, really rough patch in my life. Like, I just wasn't happy with life. Everything that could have possibly went wrong, went wrong for me. And it wasn't until I was about to commit suicide, I ended up getting taken to the hospital because they came, you know, the police came, they got me, and I was taken to Detroit Receiving, and I was in the psych ward where someone spoke to me. He was the intake person, but the way he spoke to me, I knew that this was nobody but God saying, look, this is not for you. You need to change. You know, I'm here for you because this man didn't know me from nowhere, but he was able to tell me, you shouldn't be here. Yeah, you got a lot going on right now in your life, but don't let that stop you. You know, you're stronger than this. You've accomplished so much. You don't throw this all away. Your babies are depending on you. This man doesn't know me. He just knows what I put on the paper or what the police told him. And for him to talk to me, it was just like this feeling came over me. And I'm like, I have so much to live for. I can use this story to help somebody. Or, you know, my kids are depending on me. I have to show them the right way. They didn't ask to be here. You know, I have to lead over them. And if I'm lying dead, who's going to help them? You know, no one, I feel like no one can take care of my kids better than me. Because I'm telling you, it took for me to almost die before I realized God is real. And he's been helping me ever since. Like, I've been a year and 3 months without self-harming. Like, I feel good about that. I don't see the old wounds anymore. I can still see a couple of them, but, you know, that's just a reminder for me.
That's
and
life,
I just know that it's God
life.
Because, I've had some dark moments even now. Like, right now I'm dealing with the death of my two students, and I just went to the funeral for one of them today. And usually something like this will break me and put me in a dark place. But I'm finding life.
That's what the devil wants.
I know it.
Yeah.
The devil wants me to be distracted.
Yep.
That is so crazy you say that because in the middle of me having cancer, I remember laying in bed and this is when you just find out and you don't know what's going on and I'm on chemo, so I'm in the bed. I'm like, I'm about to die. I'm about to die. Mm. It's okay. Just take me, Lord. And God said to me, you've been dead. This is the type of life you've been living. So now is the time to get up and actually start to live. By the time it was time for my surgery, I felt better than I ever have in my life. I forgot I was sick, y'all. Okay? That's woo! God is awesome.
Right.
He's amazing,
yes,
God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he
I definitely went astray from my spiritual journey like you guys. I think that honestly, like you know, with you, Detroit, that your pastor can make or break you. My mother passed in 2015, and we had her funeral, and I was looking for the pastor to give some words of encouragement or a way for us to find closure, but it's like he went into this whole rant about getting saved and basically told us, I can't tell you where your mom went. She went wherever she prepared herself for. And, you know, I was already feeling surreal, like, you know, like she's gone. And then it's like after this, it's like, okay, I'm in the twilight zone. But honestly, it took for me to move away from Michigan and come all the way to Philadelphia. And my journey was not, it was not, you know, it was not like a perfect journey. Like it wasn't a perfect transition. I, you know what I'm saying, was in an abusive relationship when I got here and I didn't have no family or friends. And, you know, it's like I was broken down to my lowest. And every time I felt like I wanted to give up, I was like, you know what, I don't know how to pray, but I'm just going to talk to God and tell him what's on my mind. And every time, I'm sorry, I hear something in the background. I'm sorry. Okay. But every time that I, you know, would basically, you know, like pray to him, that's when he would come through for me. So, like, you know, he showed me my strength. He showed me, you know what I'm saying, who I was as a person. And basically when no one else was there, you know what I'm saying, he was there. And, like, you know, I remember when I was in the detective's office one time. This was after, like, the second time of getting abused. And I had went to, you know, basically press charges. I was thinking that I'm going to have to move back to Michigan, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, like, I moved too quick, and, you know, like, basically this wasn't the right choice. And I was like, you know what, God, I've been moving two steps ahead of you my whole life. I'm going to sit back and let you lead, and wherever you lead, I'm going to follow. And I kid you not, at 2 seconds later, I got a notification on Indeed saying that this person is interested in hiring you. I'm thinking that it's some insurance door-to-door thing, but it was actually what I was doing at that time. Because I finally got into my career as a social worker. So I'm like, okay. So I pressed that I was interested. I went to that interview with a black eye, didn't have no experience. Ooh. And she called, you know, and she was telling me, like, you know what, I don't know if you don't have a lot of experience, I don't know if I can train you. She called me back 2 days later, giving me an offer letter, and it was just like, you know what, okay. I see you, God. It's God, like he really showed up and showed out. So it really took for me. Like, I had to step out on faith and just walk away. It was not easy leaving that abusive relationship. I think it took like a year before I really stepped out on faith and left that abusive relationship. And, Lord, he showed up and showed out. So, yes. All right.
A lot of the times we really don't know how to be still. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of the times when we are uncomfortable, we want to get up and we want to move and we want to run away from our problems. But that's really where the journey is at. That's where the lesson is at. That's where your strength is at right there. You know what I mean? Like in that time where you just want to get up and run, you know, that's the worst time to run. And sometimes we just got to understand that our life is a journey and to enjoy that moment, because now you can help somebody else get ahead, and that's what this life is all about, you know?
Exactly.
Right there.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys watch Pastor Mike Todd. I've been binge watching him, but he did a church up series.
I do. I love him. Yes.
Yes. So one of his points in the show was that people rather find healing in bars and clubs instead of church because the people in the church are too judgmental. Now, I know y'all said earlier about it being judgmental, so what is your perspective on that? Jemani, you can go first.
I don't think that is a problem because of the church. I think that is a problem because of what that person is going through personally. I feel like for me, addiction runs in my family. You know what I mean? Partying runs in my family. And I feel like a lot of the times we do it because it's what we're used to or it's the only thing that we know. Or that it is just, it is an out, you know, an out for us. It's a numbing mechanism. I don't think that there's any wrong with going to the bar, to the club, but when you make it your life and that's all that you're doing and, you know what I mean, and then you're off into doing different drugs, then I feel like that's a personal issue. I feel like with the church, I feel like that has been something that, even I remember being young, you were scared to step up in the church if you went to the club. You were scared to step up in the church if you did drugs, if you smoke a little bit of weed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were scared that you was going to be judged. So I don't really think it's the problem of the people. I think that's the problem of the church.
Right.
I really do. I really do. So that's my take on that.
Okay. You sure don't?
Okay, so the sad reality is that church folk are very judgmental. You know, we talked about that earlier, but I think the healing that people are getting from clubs and bars are from the alcohol and the marijuana. I feel like Christ or Yeshua has called us to go out and minister to people outside the church walls. So going to the club, going to bars, even going out to the street. That's what he was about. You know, we can't just minister to people in the church.
Right.
And another thing is that you have to, when you're meeting people, you have to meet them where they are. You can't judge because you don't know their situation. You don't know the you don't know or understand their story. And so when you judge people, you miss the gift that God has given them and the gift that will help heal and transform the world.
Yes.
Right. Don't get me to jumping up and down in the middle of the street.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I heard outside. I'm like, somebody outside.
Yes,
hey,
I'm going for
a
walk.
It's a beautiful day outside. It's sunny.
It is. Enjoy it before.
I'm all the way in Pennsylvania. What is the weather like there back in Detroit? What's it like back there, y'all?
It's like in the 90s.
Okay, Michigan showing out.
Today,
Michigan is showing out. Okay, all
we,
right.
We is doing the thing up in here, okay?
All right.
And
okay,
everyone in the state just doing good with the coronavirus, too. So I'm proud of Michigan.
Same here. We
stand
you know what? Big Gretch.
Come on, Big Gretch.
Right.
Yes. Gretch
with
the
bug, you know,
sis. Yes.
And so I have something I want to add. Yeah, I have something I wanted to add. So we all should think about it like this. With this coronavirus, look at God. Look how we don't want for anything. He's making sure we've got money.
Come on now.
We've got our food, shelter.
Yeah.
We lack nothing.
Nothing at all.
Lacking nothing through the whole virus. I'm telling you, I was so thankful.
Yes.
So thankful.
God,
my kids been gaining weight through the whole quarantine.
Woo! That's it.
My baby went from 10 to 14 quick.
Girl, my father is in the 10-12. I'm like,
oh, Jesus.
Where my baby go? Ooh, I thought I was the only one. I don't feel so bad now.
No, baby. I went to take my baby to go get her some shoes the other day. My 8-year-old is wearing an 8 in women. No, I definitely know. My baby has been eating good. Like, I thank God for that. I'm telling you, all my kids have grown.
Hey, no,
my
God,
I had a snack
your butt
today. We got a snack.
Yes, girl. Mom's hungry.
So,
sit down.
Right.
And so, all right. Okay, it's your turn. What's your perspective on it?
Okay, so what both of them said actually is what I was going to piggyback off of anyway, because I feel like it is a coping mechanism, especially when you don't want to go someplace where you know that you're supposed to go to get healing and help, but you go to get judged mm-hmm. instead. So why would I want mm-hmm. to go there? I already feel horrible, so you're just going to keep piling the guilt on me. So let me go to this mm-hmm. bar real quick. Let me take me a couple of shots. Let me smoke this so mm-hmm. I can heal and numb this pain, you know, temporarily, mm-hmm. because I'm not trying to go there right now and have them jumping mm-hmm. down my throat about this, and I'm trying to heal from it. So I feel like church people are very judgmental. I know that we were judged a lot based off of, like, going to my granny's church. That's why I stopped. When I got old enough to say, no, I'm not going, that's when mm-hmm. I stopped going, because it was like they would judge you based off of what you wear. Like, it was a fashion
yes.
show. It was
that's right.
Mm-hmm. From the
she got jeans
period.
And a T-shirt on. She
yes,
and
that's
girl.
How it was. And my mom used to always say, no, we're going to come as we are. And what they don't,
that's
what
right.
they fail to realize, what all the people in the church fail to realize is, God will leave y'all if there's one out there that's distressed, lonely, bitter, hurt. He will go save that one. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. That's the one that he wants. He wants the broken one. He wants the drunk.
Yes.
He wants the alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the weed. Those are the people that he wants. And they
yes.
fail to realize that because
fun.
They think that they are they
and
are
the thing
there.
Is,
they
all they got to do is read the Bible.
That's
right.
Exactly. It, I'm telling you.
Because
mm-hmm.
everybody
yeah.
that was in the Bible was all broken. All of the people
yes.
that
yes.
was all, wasn't
them.
Nobody perfect. Right.
And
exactly.
Pastor Mike
Woo!
Todd points that out. Yes, I'm telling you.
Mm.
Pastor Mike Todd points that out. You are so right. You are so right, Giovanni. You are so right. Because
yes.
I definitely agree with what y'all said. I actually remember a prostitute coming into a church when I was on the east side. And everybody was judging her. She was coming in there, going up to the altar because she wanted to get saved. And so many looks. As if a lot of us
mm-hmm.
out here are not don't have kids, you know what I'm saying, out of wedlock. Like, people judge, and like, they judge to take the light off of their problem. And I remember
mm-hmm.
that it was a lady here that I used to work with. She used to always invite me to her church for Bible study. After I left that abusive relationship, I couldn't go to that church anymore because it was in that area, and I would get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you know, I can't go, but I'm gonna find my own church. Oh, you have deeply rooted issues. Like, what says that to a person? Like, my life matters
right.
before going to your church. And I told her, I said, I don't
come
always
on,
have
now.
To praise God in church. So I definitely
right.
agree
yes.
with y'all on that. And like, Giovanni, to piggyback on what you said, Pastor Mike Todd talks about taboo things, and that's why I started watching him, because you can go to church and they don't talk about how to deal with molestation. They don't talk about how to deal
right.
with sex. They say don't have sex before marriage. So at 10 years old, I thought
or
that
God
I was going to hell because,
away.
Hey, I got molested at 8 years old, but hey, I already had sex before marriage. Like, we got to do better, church people. We have to do better because you go into... You can go into a bar, you can knock over your drink. Oh, it's okay, sweetie. You know what I'm saying? They show you more love there. You know what I'm saying? And that's
right.
sad.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
And the churches don't prepare you for bad days. You know what I'm saying? Like, they always tell
you,
God's going to make a way. Oh, there's a miracle coming. Oh, this is going to be your life in 3 months. But they ain't telling you, like, no, you're going to have some hard days. There's going to be some days where you can't get out the bed. Okay,
yep.
but
exactly.
that's when you
yep.
rely on God, and you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't give you that reality at all.
No.
That part.
They don't give
part.
You that everything is in God's timing. When you pray does not mean, oh, it's about to happen soon as I get up on
right.
my knees. No. And then they don't
right.
tell
mm-hmm.
you that action must follow your prayer. You can't
right.
pray for something
Thank
and
you.
Then don't do nothing about it and think it's supposed to come true. No, you have to work
yes.
in that prayer. You have to do your part
Absolutely.
So God can meet you. He needs to see you working and see you moving.
That
yeah.
part.
Okay,
that part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, no. Hey, listen. Listen, it's okay. Listen, I know I said we had 40 minutes, but you can't be on time when it comes to God. But we got one last question.
Okay.
Y'all can just bear with me.
Good.
Y'all
he
got time?
So
do y'all got time?
Yeah.
Y'all got, okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Can
okay.
I elaborate?
Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I forgot whose comment it was, but when it comes to the church and church folk, Christians, they act like seeds that was against Jesus.
Mm.
Look at how judgmental they were towards Jesus. You know, the church is actually supposed to be a place where people get their healing, they're delivered, and they're set free. Why do you have people going into church coming the same way that they entered?
Yes, that part. Well, this ain't a question. This ain't a question on the list. I just want to ask y'all real quick. Do y'all think that we were conditioned back from slavery to be judgmental like this? Like, do y'all think that this happens from back then? Or like, where do you think this judgment came from? Like, this a freestyle question because I'm feeling it.
Absolutely. This is before all of this stuff. You have to think that us as Black folks, like, we had our own land, we had our own businesses, we had our own villages, we had our own everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they did. We was made to be brainwashed to turn against one another because they figured what do we have to do to make our world predominantly a white world and rule this land? Let's take the fathers out of the home.
Yeah.
And then they already knew, now it's already broken. Let's put them in jail. Let's break the men and the women. You know what I'm saying? Let's break them all the way down. Yeah, we could talk about this for hours. It runs so deep. The sad part is that it's still happening this day. You know what I'm saying? You know how many times I walk into a place and it's just Black people or Black women, and I'm looked at with their lips turned all up, like, just say I look good. Hey, sis, Dan, you look beautiful. Compliment me. Don't look at me like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm that way. Like, oh, girl, where you get that from? That's bad. Like, oh, you look good. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have been conditioned to self-hate, one, to hate ourselves, and to, two, hate each other.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do think, and it's going to take the love of God to bring us back together so that we can be, and it's happening now, but we have a lot of people that's conditioned, that's Black, that think they white. And they don't even know where they come from.
I'm telling you.
That is so true.
That is so true.
And let me tell you, I'm a victim of it myself. Because, I'm sorry. Real quick. Because my parents, you know, I went to West Bloomfield High School, you know what I'm saying, like, which was a school that is, like, mixed. It's more white. It's whites and Chaldeans and stuff like that. Like, my dad taught me to be scared to go across 8 Mile. It wasn't until I got in a relationship 3 years ago that I was scared to stay the night in the city. For my own people, for 20-something years, I was mad. Like, okay, so all of this time I've been scared of my own folks. For what? I'm scared to walk into the grocery store for my own folks. I have been brainwashed to be scared of my own folks. Just imagine how many people
I was the same way.
Like,
you know, I had the same way. Experience. My mom brought me up like that.
Yep.
Mm.
And now I'm to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to live around. Not saying it's a horrible thing, but it's more dangerous. I got a Black son, you know.
Yes.
I'm more scared to live around a white neighborhood. I am.
Hey, I listen. I understand. I definitely understand.
Because really, what's safe now? You know what I'm saying? What do we call safe?
It's trouble everywhere you go. It's trouble everywhere you go.
That's why you got to just stay prayed up.
Huh?
What?
Yes.
That's why you just got to stay prayed up.
That's you.
Right.
No.
Okay, Detroit Dog, did you want to...
I feel good.
Yeah?
I feel good. I had my day.
Did
you
want to...
But
I'm sorry.
I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm going to mute, Derek. I'm sorry. Did you want to go next?
Yeah, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying, do you think that we are? Do you think that we're conditioned to be judgmental?
Oh heck yeah! I want to piggyback on what Giovanni said. You know, a lot of times we as Black people, we don't encourage each other enough. You know, you see another Black man looking at another Black man, and we're frowning upon him. We're not greedy. Mm. I know there's times I walk by another brother and I'm saying, hey, how's it going? You know, and I, all I want to do is encourage. You know, I don't want to, you know, cause harm or offend him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then also that goes back to what we, how we were conditioned as Black people in this country. When you think of the crab in a barrel mentality, and how when you see a crab getting out of the barrel, you've always got somebody, you've always have the other crabs pulling them back down. So when you see a Black person leaving the hood and trying to do better, it doesn't mean that you are against your people. You want to do better, and you can actually, some people have the mentality that they want to bring their profession and help their people to be better. But you don't have a lot of people that think like that. So you're going to have people that try to discourage you from leaving the hood. What you want to leave the hood for? That's like that negative self-talk. That's nothing but the enemy. You know, you want to focus on those, on the positive things. You know, it's positive that you're leaving, that you're getting a nice house, and it's around other professional Black folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that crab in a bucket. And then, like Jay-Z said, but they didn't teach us that crabs was never meant to stack on top of each other. When one come out, you latch on to the one, and then that one latch on to the one, and that one, and then eventually everybody comes out the bucket. That's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Queen K, did you want to answer? I wasn't going to answer. I just wanted y'all to educate me.
I mean, they told
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I just wanted to get educated.
Because I felt their same way. I've been feeling the same way for quite some time now. You know, it's just passed on from generation to generation. You know, they were taught to break us up, and that's exactly what they did. They succeeded for many years, and I'm happy now we're finally opening up our eyes as a community, as Black people, to, you know, love each other. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's all we need. That's it. Love
and
God. That's it. That's it.
And that's what Christ called us to do.
If we can get those two things, that's it. That's all he called us to do. And that's what they don't understand.
Yeah.
We're supposed to love on people while they're here.
When I tell y'all, I feel like I should have been born in the 50s and the 60s. I wish I was born in the there was a mama that listen, okay? Because once they put crack into our neighborhoods, it just all it just all went
down.
It all went south. Okay.
Okay.
Yep, yep. So,
well,
and that was a setup, you know, so
kids in the background. Okay, y'all. Well, due to time that y'all actually did ask to answer the last question about, you know, how to find your own relationship with God. Y'all asked, you know, y'all answered that in the first one, so we definitely won't. But I really thank y'all for coming on. Like, y'all just made my day better. I don't know what was going on yesterday, but I had a dark cloud over me, and I'm like, what is wrong? My boyfriend was like, you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine, but I'm just crying and everything. So, yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
We're going to have to holiday. Can y'all come back on next season for the next panel? We're going to make it something. If y'all can.
Absolutely.
You know what, yes.
Before we go, can we just kind of elaborate on that question? Just
the
real
last
quick. The last one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's best for people to find their own relationship? Yeah, sure. Giovanni, you want to answer the question?
Oh, me? Okay, so what was the question? Do you think that, I'm sorry.
Do you think it's best for people to find their own relationship with the higher power versus someone shoving it down their throat?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely, I do. As a matter of fact, I don't think that's the best way. I think that's the only way. Because at the end of the day, you are an individual yourself. When you're born into this world, most of the time you're born as one, and when you leave this world, you normally die as one. So I think that a lot of us have misconstrued the journey of life. We feel like it's supposed to be really surrounded by all these people, and then the reality of it is it's really a journey of life by yourself. You're with people, but it's really a journey. How do you live your life by yourself, you know what I'm saying, by yourself, your purpose, and then and also elaborate on that, on your life purpose as well. And it's hard to live your life purpose when it's everybody else all in the ear. You know what I mean? That's between you and God. So absolutely, I do think that the best way to find Christ or God is, or Yahweh, it's through
Amen.
The journey of you and him alone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Detroit Dodge.
I definitely agree with everything that Giovanni just said, that it is best for a person to find their own relationship with God, and you do that on your own. You need to know God for yourself and how loving he is. I feel like somebody teaching you that, you don't really learn that, because when religion is forced upon you, you develop this sadistic view of God, and you think he's so judgmental and he's all these negative things, but he's loving. Like, if you knew how loving he was.
That part. Definitely. Queen Kate?
Yeah, I think it is best for everyone to eventually, you know, find their own, you know, come in contact with their own spiritual awakening, their own spiritual journey, because having it shoved down your throat by other people or forced upon you, it will leave you with many questions, you know, many unanswered questions at that. And I know for me, having it forced upon me, I didn't want it. Like, I'm the type of person, don't force nothing on me, you know. I'm not going to want it. I need to do it for myself. And the moment I did it for myself is when I found my love for God myself, you know. I know that he's the head over my life. Yeah, I used to say a prayer, you know, like the back of my hand, but I didn't understand it until I took that leap of faith myself, with God, and found him myself. So it does mean a lot for everybody to go on their own spiritual journey. Don't be led by, you know, don't be led by the sheep, be led by the shepherd. That's how I feel.
Okay.
I definitely agree with all three of y'all. It is best to find your own relationship with the higher power. You know, that way you can understand yourself more, because if someone else shoves it down your throat, I know for me, I was just always afraid to go to God because it was like, oh, you can't talk about this or you can't say that. And I'm like, okay, well, I know he's a God-fearing person, but it's like, is he evil? Because he made me, and I know that I have a sense of humor. I know that I'm a caring person. So what is it that you guys are making him out to be? So yes, please reform your own relationship, because when you get your own personal relationship with God, you won't feel so embarrassed to praise him in public in front of other people. Because that's what I used to. I used to worry about how everybody else would look at me for praising him. And it's like, I don't feel like that no more, because he has shown up and showed out. And it's to the point where people try to tell me that there isn't a God. I'd be like, listen, you can believe that and you can take that evil and it's over there, but I'm sorry. I know that there's a God, and I'm not going to let you rain on my parade. So please, you know what I'm saying, guys, listen back to this. Listeners out there, share this with anybody that you know. It's time to wake up. You know what I'm saying? It's time to wake up. So, yes.
Absolutely. And to elaborate on that really quickly, the only way that we can spread the word of God is if we experience it ourselves. That's another thing. We can't really spread the gospel and go out and talk about how real God is if we have not experienced it for ourselves first. So I think that's why it's important to have that relationship with God first for yourself, to know him. Like they say, to know him is to love him, so that you can love other people in the way of how Christ loves us.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate y'all. I will give y'all details on what the next panel will be, because y'all are educating us. Y'all my best friends now. Like, seriously, I swear.
That's how I feel.
I feel like we just really had a connection. Because, like, Giovanni, you know, I don't know if you remember, but we went to daycare together. You know what I'm saying? And I just learned so much more about you.
Yes, I remember.
I'm telling you, you know.
I remember that.
So I'm going to send y'all the link once the show is over. We're about to mute y'all. We're going to finish up. If y'all want to stay on and listen, y'all can. But thank y'all so much, and definitely bringing you back on for next season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right, Queen K, that was very powerful.
That was really good.
I needed that for me today. Man, listen, I had something to say. I think I'm going to still probably say it, but I don't even feel like I felt yesterday. But I had a dark cloud over me yesterday, and I just really could not understand why I was, like, so emotional. Songs was making me teary-eyed and everything. And I'm like, okay, I can't be like this. You know what I'm saying? I got to shake it. And today something just told me, you're going to have a good day, and you're going to be all right. Home care agencies was calling me, questioning about the service authorizations, and I was in such a good mood. And tonight was for that. Man, thank y'all again, Detroit Daoud and Giovanni. I appreciate y'all.
Yes. Yes. Well, I felt like I had something to say. I've been going through it. Well, I do got something to say. You know what? My mom said it best today for me. And I just want everybody to hear it. Now, my mom, she is a hardcore chick, okay? Joyce Ann don't play no game. But she said something today that really stuck out to me, and it helped me to process this, because I had to go, like I said, go to the funeral of one of my students that passed away today. Wednesday, I have to go to the younger sister's funeral. But I've been feeling some type of way all day. I've been feeling sick, and my mom was like, this is God showing you that we have to cherish people while they're here. You know, let's not live in anger. Let's not let the petty stuff, you know, take us out of here and make us hate the next person, especially if it's something that you can talk about and, you know, compromise on. Leave all that stuff alone. You know, love while they're here. Love your life. Live your life. The next second is not promised. And I look at my mom. And I'm just like, I've never heard her speak like this. And I can tell it came from the heart, y'all. She is right. This is what we're here for. Let's love on each other, you know. Let's celebrate each other. Let's uplift. Let's support. Let's motivate each other. We can do this. We don't have to tear each other down. This is what life is about, you know. Life is about love. Let us bring that love back.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you get into the AO Queens and Kings quote. What's the quote for tonight, Queen K?
Okay. Well, for tonight, I got this quote from a coworker. She sent it to me. It's kind of long, so I only got one today, but I do want to share it because it really stood out to me. So thank you, Ms. Terry. It says, hate has four letters. So does love. Enemies have seven letters, so does friends. Lying has five letters, so does truth. Negative has eight, so does positive. Under has five, so does above. Cry has three letters, so does joy. Anger has five letters, so does happy. Right has five letters, so does wrong. Hurt has four letters, so does heal. It means life is like a double-edged sword. So transform every negative side into an aura of positivity. We choose the better side of life. So thank you again, Ms. Terry. That just helped me because it's just like I don't have to live on the negative end of life. I can be positive, you know. Instead of me being sad, let me be happy about something. Let me find the joy in the day, you know, because I have to be joyful. God woke me up this morning, and not only did he wake me up this morning, he met all my needs the night before so I could be set for the next day, and he let my kids wake up to see me. So I need to switch my whole mindset. That's what that post said for me. So, yeah, that's my AO Queen thought of the week. Complex, let's get into that no apology thought.
Okay, so my no apology thought is it's something that people probably heard before, but it was definitely meant for tonight. So it says, I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me brain and energy to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me danger to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. And I say that to say, anything that you go through in life, it is not a punishment. When they say everything happens for a reason, it is meant to happen for a reason. You have to trust God, let go, and let Him. You have to learn how to step out on faith, and that is something that's very hard. It's so hard to walk by faith and not by sight when there's so many distractions going on in this world. But so many times before, God just said, I just want to know, are you going to trust me? Because I keep showing out and showing, I keep showing up and showing out. When are you going to just trust me, Tasha? And I said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to just let you lead. And I'm telling you, He had my ducks lined up in a row. Were my days always good? No. You know what I'm saying? I'm human. But the fact that I am turning to Him and not trying to do it on my own, depression doesn't seem as hard anymore. You know, days don't seem as hard anymore. I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. And with this coronavirus and everything else that's going on in the world, I have inner peace. So I just say that to say
that's important.
Everything that you go through, please just take a step back and look at the whole picture. And that's my no apology thought. I love you guys. So with that being said, I am Complex Angel. I'm the Vibe.
And I'm Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And peace and love. We are out.
Peace and love.